Thank you for listening to Living on Purpose. And now we'll get back to my phone conversation with Dr. Bruce Lipton.
Think about this as just a possibility.
Okay.
That you were a child, came into a family where the parents were so in love with each other and the community and the people and the planet. Everything they did was on a win-win basis, and everything was like agape love, and they treated everybody this way, and they loved intelligence and all these, I mean, very nice, wonderful things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were the child in that family, your subconscious would have every one of these valuable programs built into it. What's the relevance is that a child from this family can grow up and essentially be unconscious their whole life and be at the top of the pile. Because when they're being unconscious, every program that is running automatically is a program of success.
Right.
And then I say, yeah, how many people do I know like that? And he answers, well, I can't count them on one hand because they're too few. The reality is why? And that is because we came from parents who were trained by their parents. And the biggest training we got in this planet is disempowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
And, you know, and then they start to even tell us as kids, you know, you don't deserve that. When parents say things like this to kids, and the child is less than six, that's a program in the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now what do I have? A program that I do not deserve. Why is that relevant? Well, we talked about when the brain functions, the outcome has to be coherent with what the program is. So if I went out and became highly successful and my program said I don't deserve things, that would be a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? When I'm going out there and I'm not paying attention, my I do not deserve program will undermine me, sabotage me, and limit me. Why? So that the result comes out to reveal the truth of the statement. Look, I do not deserve. And guess what? I didn't. It's like, well, now you're coherent.
Yeah.
And that's your automatic programming. But then, as you said, your conscious mind sometime wakes up and says, and actually looks at itself and says, my God, this behavior is actually sabotaging me.
Exactly.
And then the conscious mind says, well, and today, well, I'm aware of it. Rather than I've done every other day,
yes.
I decide to do this. That's called creative. That's what the conscious mind is. But now here comes the problem. Just because your conscious mind decided on Monday that it would move in a different direction, on Tuesday, if your mind is busy, guess what? You automatically go back to the tape, and the tape still has your original programming.
Okay.
So the point was, just because your conscious mind becomes aware of a negative program, it in no way changes the program. They're two separate minds.
Right.
And so you go to cognitive psychology, therapist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go and you say, yeah, look, when you grew up, your father did this to you, your mother did this, these people did that. And you go through and you go, hey, you live every one of these things. You go, oh, God, yeah, I remember. Oh, that hurt. I wanted to die. And you go through every experience. You relived them again, right? Now,
yeah.
But now they're conscious to you because when you learn them, you may have been unconscious.
Yeah.
But now they're conscious and you go and you just said, yep. I understand exactly why I'm in the problematic place that I am today. I understand. And guess what? The person who still gets all this understanding still is in the problematic place and will be. For the reason is this, just because you became aware of it in your conscious mind, that in no way directly means that you rewrote the original program. The original program is the original program. It's going to stay in there until you make an active process to change it. Because if it didn't, just think of this, every day you change your mind, every day then your behavior would change from one day to the next day, the next day, the next day. That wouldn't be a very good thing. You want to maintain consistency. So
yeah.
Subconscious is consistent, but if it's programmed bad, it will be consistently bad. So the design of the system isn't just to change every day. Oh, I tried this today and now I got a new.
Sure.
So it says this. It allows the separation of conscious and subconscious into separate domains, allows the consciousness to be aware, but doesn't take any awareness that just pops into consciousness and automatically put it into subconscious.
Okay.
That would be very disruptive.
Yes, indeed.
So it says, okay, now I become aware that just because I realize I've done bad behaviors, I still have the bad behaviors, what do I do now? Then the process says, yeah, you can rewrite the program, but you make an effort to rewrite the program, not that I just had a new idea. Suddenly I rewrote the program because then every new idea would erase an existing program and start another one up.
Yeah.
So it says there's a process by which you now take your awareness, your new understanding, and then try to rewrite the program. It's not just I saw a new understanding and the program automatically rewrote. It doesn't work that way. And that's the failure of generally the kinds of therapy where I can be very successful in finding out what caused the problems, but in spite of now knowing that, I still have the problem.
And this is talking really about going to the cellular level?
Well, it's going back into a mechanism of working with the nervous system that opens up the doorway, or if talk about the subconscious mind as a recording device,
right.
How to push the record button, take the data that I have and actually record a new behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the intention of the book to be a self-help book, and because I even just got another email this morning from somebody who said, well, I really love the book and everything, but I was really let down at the end of the book. I didn't say what to do, and the thing was, that wasn't my intention. My intention, it's a science book.
Yeah.
And I leave that open because there are a variety of different ways to get down there, and individually, for individual people, you know, one form may work better, another form. It's not for me to do that, and it's unfortunate because people now expect that I must do this, and it's like, but that's not my job.
You have to get off the train at some point and let people keep riding. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, and people say, well, Bruce, at least give me some directions. So I'll say, here are three different directions.
Okay.
Number one, processes that are like what my people might refer to as Buddhist mindfulness.
Right.
Which basically says, rather than allowing your mind to keep, you know, leaving the current moment and think about the future or dwell on the past, practices of mindfulness say, no, keep your conscious mind right here, right now. Because if you're watching it right here, right now, then you're in the moment of now, and you have those decisions that say all the time, I could do this or that. The consciousness is running the show in the moment of now.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when does the subconscious run it? When your consciousness is focusing on the future or the past or thinking on something like solving an equation,
sure.
Then it's not paying attention to the now. By that definition, the subconscious works. So
mm-hmm.
The more now you can be in, then the more power you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, clinical hypnotherapy. In a sense that this modality is the closest in the sense of how you actually got the original programs in the first place. Your conscious mind wasn't really working. You were working at lower levels of EEG,
mm-hmm.
which were like a hypnagogic trance, meaning you observe it, you download it. That's
right.
What happened. If you go back to a clinical hypnotherapist, you can get your mind back into that same state, and that opens up the recording session, so you can record something different.
Okay.
And then thirdly, is a large variety of new modalities that are collectively under the title of energy psychology.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw out a few names, but this is by no means a full list in any way whatsoever.
Sure.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Body talk, avatar, holographic repatterning, EMDR, EFT, Psych-K. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch. You can Google energy psychology. Some, I think, are better than others in regard to how the modalities is brought to play.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for people to figure out. That's not my decision. And what do they all have in common is that they basically provide for a state of super learning. And super learning is an ability to open up that subconscious and download, boom, new data into the subconscious as well as the conscious at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's like pushing the record button on the machine, and you can do in a matter of minutes. You can rewrite programs that have hobbled you your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You can get them back and change, rewrite a program 5-10 minutes. So these are the effective modalities of interacting with that subconscious mind and trying to reprogram it to be your friend rather than the invisible device that sabotages you. And that is basically what the resolution of this whole thing is.
We haven't even got to a lot of stuff, like the brain on the membrane of the cell, for God's sake, and our skin being like a brain. Like, do you want to just talk briefly about that?
It's basically, we talked about the concept of perception, and how does an environmental signal, such as, let's say, in our physical body, cold on the outside, or a scary thing like a mountain lion chasing you, how does that information interact with the biology? And the answer is very simple. It's through a structure we call the brain.
Mm-hmm.
The brain has organelles called receptors.
Mm-hmm.
By the nature, receptor means receiver of information. So I have eyes. They receive light, ears, sound, taste, and touch, and smell, and pressure, and pain, and temperature. These are receptors out of our system that feed the information from the environment into the brain. The brain makes an interpretation of the information and then engages a biological response.
Mm-hmm.
When studying cell biology and recognizing that cells are little individual entities, almost like little humans unto themselves, is that every cell has a brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because every cell responds to the environment that it lives in and adjusts its genetics and biology to fit. What the book really emphasizes is at some point is that the brain is not the genes, which is conventional thinking. And the reason suggesting that, number one, is that if you remove the genes from a cell, the cell still has a life. It's still integrated, coordinated, its behavior, it keeps it alive and all that, which infers that something is organizing the behavior and coordinating it. And the structure that organizes and coordinates behavior is called the brain, and the genes are not there. It says something else is doing it.
Yeah.
My research led to the reality that it was the membrane, or the equivalent of the skin of the cell. And it makes perfect sense as to why this structure would be the equivalent of the brain, because on one side of the skin is the outside world, and the other side of the skin is the inside world, and can read two environments at the same time and facilitate an exchange of information. So the skin of the cell, the membrane, becomes the brain of the cell. And then when I relate it to the human, it reveals that if you understand the nature of human embryology, that the central nervous system, the brain, the spinal cord, are derived from the skin of the back.
Right.
That originally is on the outer surface of the embryo, but later folds inwards and forms this tube structure that runs from one end to the other end.
Wow.
And becomes the nervous system. So there are nervous system of the human derived from the skin, still connected to the skin anyway, and we have receptors to read the environment all over our skin, and the cell has exactly the same thing. The cell, but where we have an eye, which is a very complex, large structure comprised of millions and millions of cells, the cell has an eye, but it's just a little protein antenna with a tuning fork that responds to the frequency of light. So it's a simplified version, but same effect, so that the human and the cell, the skin and the brain are the interface between the real world on the outside and the interior world on the inside, and that the brain's function is to read the environmental circumstances and then, based on experiences and instincts, adjust the response of the system so that whatever response it is, it's a response that will tend to keep the system alive. But then, of course, in the human brain, then we develop a large amount of interpretations. And these interpretations, which then become the perceptions, control our biology. But as we mentioned, sometimes in acquiring these interpretations or perceptions, they're actually inappropriate and incorrect. And, and if they are, then it says every time that stimulus comes up, when we play that behavior, by the nature of it, it was inappropriate or ineffectual or destructive, in fact, a behavior to play in this time and circumstance. So our misperceptions can cause our problems in that regard, and they're reflected by the fact that this membrane skin, its function, when it develops something as large as a human, it can then dedicate trillion cells into just reading the outside environment, that this specialization of cells, this community, becomes that central voice whose dedicated function is read the environment, interpret it, and then coordinate the 50 trillion cells.
It's a lot going on. It's amazing that people think they can be bored at any moment.
Well, what happened to me when I started to recognize that most of my life was being programmed by beliefs that I acquired from other people, perceptions acquired from other people, that when I learned that, then I realized, I said, well, first of all, my perceptions control my biology, and I have power over my perceptions. That's when you talked about, like, what if my conscious mind observes this and decides not to play the same game? And the answer is, well, now you are powerful. You decide. It's up to you. You can play something different. So all of a sudden, what did you realize? You were personally controlling your life. Yet until you become aware of the fact that the fundamental programs of the subconscious, which operate 95% of the day or more, the fundamental ones were programmed by other people. So when I'm running my life, I'm exercising behaviors that weren't, it may be, in my benefit at all. Matter of fact, most of them are not. And the relevance about that was then, by understanding this and rewriting the behavior, then I became more the powerful influence in unfolding my life rather than letting my subconscious do it with these other programs. And the significance is, once I started to reprogram that, I reprogrammed myself for, well, why should I live in fear and pain and have illnesses and all that when I know my biology is very powerful? I program myself to exercise my powers.
And to be successful.
And to be successful, because, as all of us have, we've got programs of disempowering ourselves, and that's a way the community works, because by disempowering ourselves, we don't have to have people above us disempower us. And we are programmed that way, and it was program acquired from people who wanted power over us. Here's a fact. The Jesuits are very proud when they offer this statement. They say, you give us a child till it's 6 or 7, it will belong to the church for the rest of its life.
Yeah.
What did they have an awareness of? Why 6 or 7? What was the meaning of all that? And here's what they knew, that the fundamental programs that control our lives are programmed in the first 6 years. And whatever programs those are, no matter how old I get, if I automatically go to the program, I'm going to go back to that program before six. So what they did, they said, if I give you the principles of the church before six of how it operates, I don't care how old you get. When you're not paying attention, you immediately kick back and work the programs that I gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these are disempowering programs because the effort is, how did they become powerful versus us? The guy is a priest or a scientist, one wearing the black coat, one wearing the white coat.
Mm-hmm.
To me, as the pedestrian on the street, these are the more powerful people. One's talking with God, the other one's talking with science, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I know? I'm a guy, I'm a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I fix cars. What the heck do I know? So the idea is I say, oh, well, if I really want to be connected with God, then I'm going to pay the guy in the black thing here.
Yeah, right.
And if I really want my health back, I'm going to pay the guy in the white coat. Why am I paying them? Because they're offering me services.
Mm-hmm.
What services are they offering? Well, the first one is helping me connect with God, and the second one is helping me connect with my health. And guess what?
Yeah.
When you go back and understand the true nature of the biology, you were never disconnected from God in the first place. You and God are always connected in this because you're connected to the environment, and in the environment, all that is.
Yeah.
Is in a sense what some people would call God. You can't be disconnected from the environment. You were created in the image of the environment. It's another biblical statement. And the point about it was this. Then you mean I was always connected with God? Then why am I paying this guy? He led you to believe you're not connected with God and that here's where you're going to go because you're not connected with God. And we bought the belief. And guess what? We terrorize ourselves with this belief. Is it true? No, we bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how about the guy in the white coat? Well, he tells me he can heal me. But it turns out, they're becoming the leading cause of death, number one. And number two, guess what the biology reveals? You were innately capable of healing yourself from the beginning. That people lived on this planet a million years before they had medical schools. And they healed themselves. And the issue was we are very powerful to heal ourselves, except what? Our perceptual system overrides the biology systems, including the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's called psychoneuroimmunology.
Back to the beginning.
So what does it say? It says, if I believe I cannot heal myself, even if I'm capable of healing myself, my belief will shut down my healing and I will manifest the illness. We bought the belief that we're frail, that we're victims of everything. Every stupid bacterium out there is going to kill us. Viruses are going to kill us. Eat a Twinkie and the sugar in that thing is going to kill you. We bought beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
And the reality is, if you believe that's true, then don't eat the Twinkie. Because if you believe it, even if the sugar would never do anything, if you believe it, then by eating a Twinkie, you will cause the biology to reflect a damage that you believe in.
Well, Bruce, I would say that anyone who's listened to this conversation today will probably have a shift in belief, at least be more aware that awareness is the key here.
Well, that's the nature of our future in this world that we're in right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
That we have to let go of the victimization thing because from every level higher above us, and how did they get higher above us? Because they let us believe that we are victims and we need them. And it turns out we never needed them until we bought the belief we did. Self-healing is how you actually will heal in spite of the fact that medicine may get in the way. It's important to recognize that we are these very powerful people, and yet every program we got growing up is a disempowering program. In fact, in Australia and New Zealand, they actually refer to the concept that's called cutting the tall poppy. And what this really represents is when you grow poppies, they all grow about the same height, and every now and then you'll see some poppy shoot up about a foot or so above all the other ones, and it doesn't look as pretty in the garden. So what do? They cut the head off the tall poppy so they'll all be the same.
Okay.
And what does this mean in child development is that when children have abilities that transcend what are called the normal, there's a tendency to cut their head off and bring them down. Who do you think you are? You know, just like one of us.
Level them out, yeah.
And so what do is anybody that starts to exercise these abilities, the conventional community will actually try to negate their abilities so that everybody is the same at a disempowered level rather than thinking about the other way. Why don't we all then become the tall poppy? So all the poppies fall. And that would be a far better consequence than taking the tall ones and cutting their head off. Just take the lower ones and give them their power back and let them become the tall ones.
Yeah, create a new standard, I think.
And I think that's the future that's facing us right now.
I'm really appreciative that you're part of that reformation, Bruce.
I appreciate it personally as a student because I wasn't part of that. So the science led me that way, and when the science led me that way, and the outcome of my life was so profoundly impacted
by
changing these beliefs, I just couldn't help myself but try to get everybody to at least stop long enough to recognize that you are truly powerful. that you can walk across fire if you want to walk across fire.
So great to listen to the CD, because I listened to it a couple times in the course of the day, and I found there was different things that jumped out at me that I hadn't heard the first time, you know?
That's very interesting, because everyone says the same thing, and the reason is there's so much information. You can follow it piece by piece by piece, but then when you try to recall, well, wait a minute, then it gets a little harder, but then the next time you go over it, then as the pieces become more, okay, now I got this better, then it opens up the fact that, as you said, there was other information that it just seemed to go by in the breeze for a second. Now, all of a sudden,
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So watching a video or listening to a CD several times enhances the quality of the learning.
Further to that, I talked to two different people yesterday and attempted to translate my fresh learning from this material this week to them. And in just that process of sharing it, it helped to pull some of the pieces together, too.
Well, this is what I like about it. I think what you'll see is when you go out, after taking this as a little bit of a filter to look at life, when you go out and interact with life, you start all of a sudden, the things start to, I see these patterns all of a sudden, because they were there, but until you look for the pattern, they're invisible.
Life is such a magical mystery tour. I absolutely love being here.
So do I. More so that I got a little more control over it rather than being the parent victim I thought I was.
Yeah. Well, bravo.
Right. Well, bravo for you for taking the opportunity to go outside the box and look at the heretic here and finding out maybe it wasn't so weird.
Quite relatable, actually.
Okay,
yes, indeed.
That's great.
Bruce, thank you so much for being my guest today. We'll be in touch.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you again, Dr. Bruce Lipton, and for listening to Living on Purpose.
Bye, see you later.